The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Awake. Where am I? Some anonymous motel room.
I guess I've already told you about my condition.
Oh, well, only every time I see you.
It's my memory.
Amnesia.
No. It's different from that. I have no short-term memory. I know who I am. I know all about myself. Since my injury, I can't make new memories. Everything fades. I've told you this before, haven't I?
What's the last thing that you do remember?
My wife. Dying. My wife deserves vengeance. Doesn't make any difference whether I know about it. Just because there are things I don't remember doesn't make my actions meaningless.
You really want to get this guy, don't you?
I killed my wife. He took away my fucking memory. Something doesn't feel right. I think someone's fucking with me, trying to get me to kill the wrong guy. What have I done?
Come on, Leonard. How many times I gotta tell you? It's not safe for you to hang around here anymore.
Why not?
Because the cop's looking for you.
You're gonna pay for what you did. Who did this to you?
You did.
Trust yourself. Trust your own judgment. You can question everything. You can never know anything for sure.
Exactly what happened. I'm gonna write down exactly what happened. Come on. I can find a pen. Jeez, come on. I'll keep focused.
No!
You know, I've had more rewarding friendships than this one. Although, I do get to keep telling the same jokes.
Hey everybody, this is Doyle, and you're joining us today for another episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box. We're here with Georgia Fox to talk about some of her upcoming projects, and specifically old movie Memento that we watched on our pop culture classics. How you doing today, Georgia?
Hey, Doyle, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh yeah, definitely. We were super excited to have you. Just going back, I mean, obviously I was a little familiar with some of your past work, because it seems like you've been on like every major drama TV show from like 2000 to 2015.
Oh, thank you.
How did you pick those projects?
I had a nice run. I had a little streak there.
Yeah, you did. ER, West Wing, CSI. Those are some pretty big titles.
Yeah, thank you.
Just a quick curiosity. I mean, it's outside of our topics, but how did you come across just like blockbuster role after blockbuster role there?
Well, you know, I'd love to take a lot of like intellectual credit for that. And I think it was just sort of a happy, lucky accident. I got to play like all of these women, right? Or like, first of all, they all carried guns, which is kind of weird and like consistent, but they're all, you know, brainiacs, like these really smart, sort of independent women that were, you know, at least with Sarah Seidel at the time, the job was the tiniest bit outside the box of what people thought about women, you know, that women were doing occupationally. Mm-hmm. So it's just really exciting to get to show up and try and bring those three people to life.
Yeah, definitely. It's even today we struggle with, you know, finding those powerful key women in different roles, but definitely those three very specific castings that kind of push that forward, I think.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, like right now, like it's such an exciting time. So like there's so many great roles for women, and even so many great roles for women that, you know, 20 years ago, people would say, hey, you know, you're a little long in the tooth. Maybe you're not right for this role. And it's just breaking out. It's been a really, really fun, exciting time to be an actress.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear it. So as you know, we watched Memento just here recently for our pop culture classic that we do on every episode, and we reached.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we reached out and wanted to talk to you about your experience with the role. I know you kind of have a It's like a background role in the movie, but it's also like a pivotal driving role of the film, too. So it's very interesting, the role that you play.
I just slid into that movie. I just snuck in there.
Yeah.
Again, it was like I was so honored to get to be a part of it. But it was also just like a fluke. Like, I can't even believe it happened. And you're right. Like, I have a lot of people that they say to me, oh, no, you had a big role in that movie. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I did not. But the thing is that Leonard's talking about his wife for a lot of the movie. So the role feels bigger than it actually was.
No, definitely. Like, your character's, you know, death is the driving force of the film, even though you're kind of only seen in this backwards view of his history, of his past.
Yeah. And very convoluted, you know, like what did happen, right? Absolutely. With the assault and stuff, right? When I got to, I was so excited to get the part. I recognized that the script was brilliant. And quite honestly, I had read it 3 times and I still wasn't sure that I understood it.
I remember it 3 times and wasn't sure exactly what happened. But you do kind of get
right? I was like, thank God for, like, I even, you know, honestly, when I knew I was going to be talking to you guys, I was like, you know, let me just go online and see what people are saying lately, you know? And I learned more about what I think happened in the movie from being online the last 2 days than I ever understood myself, like, cerebrally. I remember, you know, asking Guy Pearce pretty quickly. I had met him and we were kind of going over our scene, and I very quietly, I was like, kind of whispered to him, I was like, do you understand this movie? Like, do you actually know what's going on? And he was like, I think so. And he had 3 scripts that he was working off of. So one was like the movie the way that we see it. And one was the movie completely backwards. And then the third one was the movie in chronological order.
Sure.
And between those 3 scripts, like, most of the time he was like, I think I know what's happening right now. But thank God Chris Nolan always did. And then I realized for myself, I was like, you know what? It doesn't really matter if I understand this, right? Because the part that I have to play, you know, like what was going on with my character and the plot points that I had to do actually all happened before, you know, this traumatic injury that Leonard had. And so I was like, I just kind of stopped worrying about whether I understood it or not.
Makes sense. Yeah, I could definitely see that being like a roller coaster of an experience.
Yeah.
Everything I read about it sounds like the movie shot really quickly also, that everybody was like kind of in and out. And it's amazing that Christopher Nolan kind of had all that wrapped up in his brain and ready to go. I mean, we even cracked the joke on the show. It's like, they wonder if they just made the movie in chronological order and then decided to cut it up and rearrange it later. Because
it is so masterfully
put together at the end of it, everything.
I agree. And that the fact that they sort of pitched the story with all of that in mind, like you said, like, yeah, you could take a movie and then recut it and make it super interesting. But the fact that he and his brother Jonathan, like, had that vision from the very beginning and actually wrote the script like that and then pitched it like that. And then people understood it enough to say, hey, yeah, we want to be a part of it. All of that is kind of unique, I think, for them. It was a really fast shoot. And I remember after we did the film, I didn't hear anything for a while, you know. I think it was almost like a year and a half or 2 years. And I thought, oh, well, too bad. I guess nothing's going to happen with that movie, which happens a lot with independence. You know, you kind of roll the dice and you have no idea as the movies, if anybody's ever going to see it or not. And I was like, oh, well, that's too bad, because I thought that movie was really going to be a good one. And then, boom, then it just kind of all of a sudden there it was. And it started playing and people responded, which was so exciting. And because this is also a project too that, you know, I think, you know, you start to believe, like, can fans sort of lift a project up? And I think we can get a little jaded now where it's like, no, if you don't have a good PR machine, if you don't have a good advertising vehicle, or, you know, it's going to be impossible to sort of get the word out. And Memento was also sort of a classic example of a movie that word of mouth and people just kind of hearing about it and watching it actually made tons and tons and tons of people see it, you know.
No,
definitely. Which is cool. It was a movement. It was a fan movement.
For
yeah.
Sure. I definitely took it to, I think, 4 different friend groups. I had friend groups take it to me. I remember when that movie started rolling around the different groups that I hang out with, it became very popular very quickly amongst me and most of my friends.
That's awesome. And I think too, nobody realized that people would see it, you know, some people a second, third, or fourth time. I don't think Nolan knew how much that would happen. I don't think he had tapped into it, because I think he also originally thought that people would understand the ending of the film a little bit clearer, like it would be less muddled than it ended up being.
Yeah.
So that was another happy accident, I think, for them.
For sure. Well, I do know you have some limited time with this, and I did want to talk to you about some of your more recent projects coming up as well. I just recently got done watching Roll With Me on Netflix. And
oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's a very powerful really film, by that. The way. I mean, when it was first getting going, I was like, I don't know what this is exactly, but that guy's story is very, very touching, actually. How did you come across
that? I couldn't
that
agree
whole crew?
More. I am so thrilled for them. I'm so thrilled. Like, you know, as you when you see the movie, you kind of also find out just like, you know, again, how what a miracle it is that there is a movie about it. And that this event, you know, the movie's doing really well. And, you know, Gabe Cordell, who is would be like the protagonist, I guess, in the movie, obviously, it's a documentary about his story.
Yeah,
he's done like four more roles. Like he just summited Pikes Peak in Colorado a couple months ago in a chair. And it's just incredible to me that, you know, that I was like, you did what? And I guess this summer he's going to train for Death Valley in July.
I was going to say, Pike's Peak's pretty freaky on foot, by the way, let alone in a wheelchair.
I know. And like an unmodified wheelchair, you know, it's just all chest and arms, upper body, and really sheer crazed will, you know, I think on his part. But I was so thrilled that he did it. And it just happened. Like he was just in Colorado, I want to say like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And so thank you for taking the time to see it. And
oh yeah, definitely.
I think it's really, really fun movie, and we're just so excited that it's, you know, that it is on Netflix. You know, it's actually going to be in Colorado. The distribution website, which is Array, ARRAY, mm-hmm. has screenings that are going to be held across the country over the next 4 months. And I know that we're coming to movie theaters in Colorado.
Awesome.
I think in December and January, and probably only a couple of screenings, but we'll be there and excited to share the movie with people.
If you guys can shoot us an email, we'll prop it up the best we can here in Colorado. So.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much.
Yeah, definitely. And then one other thing I wanted to touch base with you on was your new, is it an upcoming movie, 3022 with Omar Epps?
Yeah, we just finished shooting that, and it's Kate Walsh and Omar Epps and a whole bunch of other really fun people. It's like, it's kind of a typical science fiction horror love story movie.
Okay.
Who doesn't love those? And
sounds like my
alley. So we just finished filming it. John Suits is the director. I think it's going to be, you know, it's very character driven and very suspenseful, and I'm really excited about it. They're editing it right now, and we might all start to hear a little more about it in 6 or 8 months or so.
Awesome. Well, I mean, definitely. I mean, obviously you're very busy, but if you have time when that movie comes up, we'd love to hear from you again as well. So.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'd love to come back. You guys are great.
Real quick, I just wanted to give you the time to touch base. Looks like I was finding out you had a lot to do with ADI as well as your production company, Seafox. I just wanted to give you some
time
to touch base on those if you wanted to.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Yeah, Seafox is this little documentary company that I started, man, I guess about 7 or 8 years ago. The focus so far has been documentaries, and most of them have been either environmental or sort of animal welfare docs. Roll With Me is the most recent, and in some ways it seems like it wouldn't be in the wheelhouse, but and since you guys saw the movie, Gabe spends so much time outside in the elements that I just kind of felt like, you know, America and the natural world was kind of another character in the movie.
For sure.
And also like a character that everybody seemed to draw some sort of strength from, you know, and some inspiration. So, and also I was just like, how can I be a part of this? This is amazing. So, but most of the other movies, yeah, I've worked with ADI for many years, Animal Defenders International. They're an international organization that for the most part sort of takes animals and out of circuses and out of zoos and affords them a retirement life in sanctuary, like big cats and elephants and, you know, great apes and stuff like that. They're really amazing, and they do a lot of legislation. And so they have a movie called Lion Ark that we did 4 or 5 years ago. And weirdly enough, unfortunately for Lion Ark, it's almost impossible to get in the States. Tim and Jan from ADI are, you know, originally from England, and their worldwide distribution deal was had in England. So it was really exciting that the movie got that. And it's played almost everywhere in the world except the U.S. yet. So that's still to come. And I think when it does play, again, I think people will find it. It's funny. You know, it's obviously tells you a lot about wildlife and conservation issues and habitat.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so, yeah, there's been a few. And then another one is Extinction Soup, which has a lot to do with, you know, shark finning. That's kind of a global thing that's happening right now that's decimating shark populations, you know, around the world. Yeah. And but then also, you know, I think the movies, you know, the movies that I've been able to be a part of so far kind of take like this small group of really motivated people that may not have a lot in common. Actually, they might be sort of very different, and they come together for something, and then something amazing happens.
For sure.
And so there's, you know, even though some of the movies, of course, they touch on some stuff that's hard to watch or sad, I think at the end of the day, the movies are all fairly inspiring.
Definitely. Yeah, you definitely felt that with Roll With Me. I was when they were first introducing all the, you know, the guys involved with helping him out, I was like,
yeah,
this is a ragtag group that you would not expect to be taking this across the country, you know, trip with this guy in an unmodified wheelchair.
Yeah, when you meet the characters, I think you have less confidence that this guy's going to get anywhere than you did when the movie started.
That's exactly like, what I felt maybe when I was like, is this going to end well? But then it all turns into, you know, a very, like, powerful story.
That's
like
great.
You said, the guy's amazing, so.
Yeah, and I love that idea, you know what I mean? That you don't have to be a billionaire, you know, you don't have to be whatever, like a CEO or a celebrity to do something, you know, that we all can do. We can do whatever we want, you know, or
sure.
We can, you know, we can do a lot, no matter who we are and what if we believe in ourselves and we just kind of set our minds to it. It's such a simple message, but it gets me every time. And I love, you know, the idea of people that we should all feel powerful. You know, we are powerful. And so those stories, you know, those stories are always stories that I'm really honored to be a part of.
That look like a lot of fun at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, and have fun. Yeah, exactly. Which is the other target. Yeah, thank you so much.
I know you, they said you didn't have a ton of time, but I definitely wanted to thank you for spending what time you did with us. That's awesome.
And again, I'd love to hear the podcast when you guys once it's all together. And so can I ask you real quick, how many times have each of you seen Memento?
How many times have I seen Memento?
Yeah.
Oh, it's at least 10 times. I'm not sure about the other guy. I know Juan, he's only seen it the one time. He was kind of a new
Memento guy.
He was the younger, like, come to Memento. Gabe, I'm sure, is up there in the 10 or so times as well, because Gabe's the guy who introduced me to the movie back in the day. And
wow.
Then I took the movie to my friend Lane and my friend Ben and my friend Bobby. We had a very, like, what's going on in this movie? But it was, I remember, actually, we watched that movie for, like, 3 months straight, like, different friend groups. But it's been at least,
at least 10, 12 times. Well, and I was going to say, since you just rewatched it, did it hold up? Were you still?
Oh, I think it
did.
Holds
it hold up,
up
or were you
it
like?
It holds up amazingly. I mean, obviously, there's some like, you know, filming has changed a little bit, and movies are shot a little different. Mm-hmm. But story plot wise, it's still still holds on to you a lot. We all love the movie after rewatching it again. Well, Juan watching it the first time, but definitely.
Oh, that's great.
Definitely holds up after how old is that movie now? 2000.
It's almost 20.
Yeah, almost 20.
I think it was. Like 20 years, really, almost since we shot it, and then it came out in like 2000. So yeah, so oh well, great. Well, thank you.
It's older than you think. It doesn't feel like a 20-year-old movie, honestly. We've watched some other 20-year-old movies where we're like, "What's going on?"
Okay, yeah, I could maybe agree with that.
but yeah, no, this movie definitely holds up. Well, again, Jordan, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
All right, thanks. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.